dam in spite of the opposition of these two indigenous communities in Panama.
You know, I was actually there over spring break. I was doing my research on affordable housing in Panama City. And yeah, it was really interesting. And there's so much development happening, and you see a lot of poor people being forced to move out because of all the, you know, redevelopment. And I mean, they're working on developing government programs and stuff, but still more challenges. So anyways, so yeah, you guys should definitely check out the website and sign the petition. And thanks, Amy, for bringing the information for us. Oh, and this is a very special announcement, but yesterday was Mary Messerman's birthday. Woo!
Happy birthday!
Yay! Yeah, no, we're very excited. We're just, yeah, I just wanted to say that out loud and let everyone know that Mary is turning 20.
20.
Woo! Okay.
Oh, that's painful.
Great. Well.
I was going to say this is happy birthday music for Mary, and it's also Salvadoran music in recognition of the win in El Salvador. This is Cutumay Camones y nosotros nos vamos. Bye.
Para construir la paz hay que luchar, mi hermano. Para construir la paz hay que.
Before we go away, I just want to remind everyone that the views and opinions expressed on this show are not representing WMBR or Sphereo. I mean, it is representing Sphereo, but it's not representing WMBR or the Technology Broadcasting Corporation or MIIT. And you can find us at this website, which is web.mit.edu/hemisphere. So yeah, we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye!
Porque no contas esto son conmigo. Para construir la paz hay que luchar, mi hermano. Para construir la paz hay que luchar, mi hermano. Hay que saber, mi hermano, que la paz no es un decir, decirle unos cuantos, que la paz es el derecho ser libre y soberano, en la justicia para el pueblo, victoria de la dignidad. Para construir la paz hay que luchar, mi hermano. Para construir la paz hay que luchar, mi hermano.
Pero mi hermano no sé, no. Cuando le decimos
¿cómo? Para construir la paz hay que luchar, mi hermano. Para construir la paz hay que luchar, mi hermano.
No se me raje, no se me raje con vida, que ya todo el mundo sabe.
Para construir la paz hay que luchar, mi hermano. Para construir la paz hay que luchar, mi hermano.
Ay, qué ritmo más sabroso, que goza la solidaridad.
Para construir la paz hay que luchar, mi hermano. Para construir la paz hay que luchar, mi hermano.
En América Latina, en mi América Latina, todo por la paz mundial.
Para construir la paz hay que luchar, mi hermano. Para construir la paz hay que luchar, mi hermano.
Si Nicaragua venció, si Nicaragua venció, El Salvador vencerá, como no.
Para construir la paz hay que luchar, mi hermano.
مرحبا مرحبا في Music for Human. I'm Dr. Janis Sakran and I welcome you. Music for Human is New Age Talk Radio here on WMBR 88.1 FM. I am fortunate to be joined tonight by the well-known Siberian academician Ivan the Mellow.
Добрый вечер, дорогие слушатели.
Welcome, Ivan.
Спасибо.
We are also joined tonight by the long-awaited but much-appreciated Lester Woods, ordained light minister and all-around cool guy.
Good evening.
Welcome, Lester.
Thank you.
Just a beautiful time of year here in Cambridge. I love this time of year. The snow has just started to melt, really. And
it's almost like the springtime under Mount Kailash, which, as we all know, is one of the 12 great energy centers in the world. And you really feel the vibration of that energy right around springtime. It fluctuates and it ebbs and flows with the seasons.
And there is so much birth of this energy. There is a lot of spontaneous growth. And one type of energy we love here is the telephone energy. And so anyone that would like to call and join their energies to ours should call 617-253-8810. Caller, welcome.
Hi.
Well, we are just discussing the wonderful renewal of the spring.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I did have a question. Is that okay?
A question would be more than delightful.
Well, I don't know how, you know, you aren't a monk, right? You can get with girls and stuff, so you know about girls.
I know about girls.
There was this girl over my house the other day, and we were getting a little drunk, you know. and I could tell she was really feeling me, but I didn't know, like, you know, how far she was going to take it, but it seemed like she was going to go all the way, you know. Like, she was giving me those signs, you know, like giving me eyes and stuff, like, you know what I mean.
She was sending you energies.
She was looking at me, and,
Now, caller, let's hold it right there. Yeah, looking is one of the most profound ways that we can transmit and receive energies. The eyes are...
Because light comes out your eyes?
The eyes are connected with the brain.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that, but anyways, we were over at my house, and, you know, she comes over and she sits on my couch with me, right?
Mm.
And she passed out And my question is, how far can I take it if, you know, like, obviously it's not, you know, date rape if she wanted to do it in the first place, but what if I didn't know exactly how far she wanted to take it? Like, I know she would have let me, you know, kiss her and maybe, like, touch her body a little bit, so, like, I could do that, but, how do you know what she wants when she can't talk?
Right, that's a very good question. In some of my light meditation trainings, one thing we talk about is the 100th monkey effect. And this is where some type of learned behavior spreads from one group of monkeys to another group of monkeys until it reaches a critical number. We call that the then plateau stage. It sounds like that might have been some part of the maybe way we could model this type of situation if we look at it more critically.
I don't get it. You saying I'm a monkey?
No, but, you know, deep down at our even spiritual roots, I think we do have a lot of connections with other people and other organisms that have backbones.
Other what?
Well, I think what Minister Woods is sharing here is that one must be very careful about the boundaries. One must keep a close eye on these limits. And far be it from me to tell you how you should live your life, but I would recommend waiting until your potential mate is in some way able to tell you exactly what it is that she accepts before even, taking advantage of a girl who is unconscious.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I thought, you know, but, like, it was going to be, like, hours, you know? Like, it was going to be hours.
So, caller, I would first recommend you to consult the Codex of Laws in Massachusetts. And if that is indeed allowed, as it is in Siberia, then I think you should go ahead and do what you feel is right in this particular situation.
Well, like, I mean, like I heard you guys talking about, like, energy and stuff. Like, I was wondering, like you guys are, like, meditation gurus and stuff, right?
Some people would consider that so.
So how do I know what she wants when she's unconscious? Like, can I look at her a certain way? Or, like, you know, like, can I... how do I know, like,
oh,
what she wants?
Caller, to the patient practitioner of meditation, you may be able to reach her energies telepathically by a very, very intense, focused meditation, and depending on the consumption of certain minerals. But
are you saying I should get drunk and pass out next to her?
That is certainly an option, although not exactly what I was suggesting. I was suggesting perhaps the consumption of pumpkins and other foods that are high, that are mineral rich, with magnesium. Let's bring another caller.
Not Thanksgiving, though, you know.
Well, caller, let's bring a second voice in with us here. Caller 2, welcome to the air. Marhaban.
Hello.
Hello, welcome. Yes, caller. Caller 2. I think we lost caller 2.
What was that about?
I'm not sure.
It's weird.
So in any case,
weird.
The consumption of certain minerals may make your mind more ready to absorb these unconscious frequencies.
Like what, think? Ginkgo biloba?
Well, like magnesium is an excellent mineral for this purpose.
Okay. I don't know if I have that.
Well, many foods are magnesium rich. I don't recommend eating magnesium directly.
So what, like a banana?
Like the pumpkin or the walnut.
What's a walnut?
Walnut is a certain type of nut.
Oh.
Pecans, I believe, are also rich in magnesium.
Oh.
and other trace minerals that actually modern scientists just, it hasn't become obvious what these other special properties can do for the body.
Oh, well, like, that reminds me of something else. Like obviously, like, I don't have a problem with this, like, but I was wondering, like, is there something you can take, like, some sort of herb or something that, like, would give you, like, a bigger boner, like, a bigger, like, you know, penis? That'll make you, you know, because I know you guys know about herbs and stuff, right? Like, I just want to get, like, hung, you know?
You know, one thing that works really well in both developed and developing nations is peanut butter. People use that as a...
Put that on my... I think that's too sticky to, like, you know...
No, actually, people use that as a fortifying nutrient. It's almost like an all-around food, and it nourishes your entire body.
Oh, you eat it?
It also doubles as a lubricant.
A lubricant?
Well, call it...
too sticky.
If you really are concerned, I recommend visiting a health practitioner. I know there are a number of exercises that you can do, and
including a number of genetic dispositions that you could watch out for.
Certainly, gene therapy would also be an option there.
Well, come on, I'm just saying, like, I just want to go to the, you know, like, what can I eat? Like, more like walnuts or like apricots?
Walnuts and apricots will provide you with many of those trace minerals that we were speaking with, but actually, one of the best things that you could start consuming is asparagus and Brussels sprouts. And then if you also need more hair on your chest, you could also try broccoli.
Now, caller, of course, Minister Woods here is giving you suggestions about things that will not enlarge the size of your penis, but will prevent you from caring about its minuscule girth that it currently has.
No, well, I mean, that's the thing, though, like, I don't know much about asparagus, but this dude was telling me, like, this dude's, like, cum tasted so bad, and it was because he ate so much asparagus, and that's what he told me, so I don't think I should eat asparagus.
Unfortunately, we lost our caller there. Let's try again. Caller 3, welcome to the air.
Mulubanji, Arthur here.
Ah, welcome, Arthur.
Very spiritual discussion tonight. It just makes me think of the heavens above and the spirits within.
Well, you know, every discussion is made more spiritual by your presence.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, great to have a full clock tonight, all the mics taken up.
Now, Arthur, what is your view on the consumption of magnesium? Because, I mean...
Well, it's a great electrolyte. Something you want to combine with the right amounts of, you know, potassium and B vitamins. Yeah, looks like we have an emergency in New York City. Okay.
Well, in a city of so many, it is hard really to feel like one's spiritual core is suitably nourished.
Yeah, it's crazy. Even up on second floor, you know, that much closer to the heavens, and you're still right there in the heart.
It's incredible. It's all-encompassing. But this magnesium, I read recently in a medical journal that as few as 40% of Americans actually consume sufficient quantities of magnesium to provide them with spiritually healthy dreaming.
Yeah, well, and I think that's just it, is connecting magnesium with the spiritually healthy, you know, just perception and things you see in the world, things you don't see, cup half empty, half full. So much of that comes down to nutrients and, you know, so minerals, right, complexes that plants create. Just, I think that's something that Western nations typically have a tendency not to believe, because it's connected with the physical, specifically plants and things you can dig up in the ground. It does not come from heaven above.
And exactly there, I mean, we had our caller that unfortunately we lost, that was really concerned about something that a man as old as you or I would realize is really very superficial, that much like one's gloves, that that one shouldn't really care. And I wonder if it's the wisdom of age that enables me to see past this problem, or if it is simply that I am nutritionally balanced and I know what is important because of the nutrients that I consume.
Well, I can tell you that something that came to my mind just from the last call is that dichotomy between the physical world and the heaven above, and the belief on one hand, mostly with Western people, that the two are separate. Whereas I think when you look at the New Age movement and paganism and Wicca and all these different elements, many different countries, different languages, land barriers, oceans in between, but the same general ideas, just that sort of the spirituality and the real is one, and that it comes from inside. And just, and you look at the metaphors that different plants have to offer, you know, like the potato versus wheat pointing up to the heavens, the potato coming from the ground, from the underworld, kind of this mass of sustenance that comes from inside, that, you know, is not pointed up towards the heavens, and that you don't rarefy into bread. That's pretty much ready to go once you brush off the dirt.
Let's bring another voice in with us here, Arthur.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Caller 4, welcome to the... Oh, I think we hear there the tone of death.
Oh, well, maybe they'll call back.
But returning to your point, it seems that that in general, because of the widespread appeal of vegetables like the potato, magic or the occult practice seems universal, that really once you brush away the dirt, as you call it, that underneath all occult practices are about the same beliefs and the same spells and charms and all of this.
It all comes back to the potato, that's right. It's, you know, not just potatoes, the plants, the minerals, the magnesium, the everything.
So let's try to bring that caller back. Caller 6, welcome to the air.
Hey, so I was you know, there's a stuff from India that I was going to talk about, so you might know a little bit about this, Victor.
Yeah. Tell us.
It's like tiger, you know, tiger junk.
Tiger.
Hold on. Yeah, it's like tiger junk. You just eat it. You know.
Tiger testes.
Well, I've heard of tiger balm. I think that comes from Los Angeles.
And what are the effects of this? I've not been exposed to it myself.
I believe it's a potent aphrodisiac.
Huh.
Especially if it comes from a Siberian tiger.
Huh.
The Siberian tiger is known for its sexual vigor and its potency.
Maybe the fact that it's an endangered species is just in line with our current sexual health as a nation and as a world.
I think studies have shown there to be a strong correlation between those two.
Actually, yes. On the Tiger Balm tip, there's also Tiger Milk Bar, another product that people kind of use to cash in on the New Age movement. Not exactly connected in any stretch.
Well, it's definitely important to reach out and to get connected with those types of energies.
It's probably never too late to start. I imagine that there are a lot of people in the audience tonight who are feeling somewhat unempowered. And really, I think one of the opportunities we have to take tonight is to form those connections in the circle, to hold hands. You know, there's not a lot of time in the day to just do those simple things in life.
Let's bring in another voice. Caller 7, marhaban.
Welcome marhaban.
Welcome to the air.
Thank you.
So, yes, the Tiger Balm. And I'm also aware that in South America there is some widespread use of a substance known as leche de tigre, or tiger's milk, for similar uses. Now, let's ask our new caller. Caller, have you been exposed to the fluids of the tiger?
Oh, I think about them. I'm just kicking back, enjoying the energy.
Excellent.
Captain Garrett.
It's certainly welcome to have that energy connected to ours.
Also, as long as we're on the subject of minerals, aphrodisiacs and other potent food, so to speak. My advice is for you to try a special kind of coffee. A coffee that is renowned for its spiritual effects. It's also one of the most actually expensive brands of coffee. Coffee Lulac. Now, a common misconception is that this coffee comes from the droppings of monkeys. In fact, it comes from the droppings of cats.
I almost would have guessed. I wasn't sure, though.
You know, the thing about coffee, I think it's kind of counterintuitive, is that it's an energizing drink. It's sort of a perception enhancer. It gets you alert. It gets you on the move. But it really, that can have the opposite effect on your being, on being able to soak in your surroundings and just be lost in the moment and feel the Dharma wheel turning. Just, it's kind of like if you're trying to see a pattern and you're inside an ant farm that's being shaken really rapidly, you know, your whole perception is buzzing. It can be harder to see that pattern. Whereas if you're calm, at rest, just soaking in the moment, it's much easier. I think that's some difficulty I've had with coffee in the past.
Mm. And also, like, kitten-dropping coffee, I think, is perhaps more potent in both regards. Let's bring a ninth voice in on this. Caller 7, welcome to the air.
Hello.
Marhaban.
Hi. You were talking about minerals.
Yes, minerals. Yeah, the various nutrients required for spiritual health.
That's great. I was wondering, maybe you can help me with this question. I was wondering if you know anything about magnets or magnetism.
I'm acquainted certainly with the phenomenon. Far from an expert, but perhaps we can be of some help.
Well, and I think Lester has spent some time in his training as an ordained light minister.
Oh, really?
That's true.
Yeah, magnetism factors largely into his school, so Lester, right. Don't be modest.
In fact, I was even born with magnets in my hand into a magnetic birthing chamber.
Wow, that's impressive. I don't think I've met anyone with such a claim to fame.
Well, hence, I think, Lester's excellent alignment.
Great. Well. So my question is, my certified holistic practitioner referred me to a Western hospital, and I was, of course, skeptical, but after I went in, they put me in one of these MRI machines with the big magnets in them, you know?
Mm.
And I've been having this problem lately where I go through the metal detector, theft detector devices at stores, and they go off all the time now, and I can't go to stores anymore. I was wondering if you know of any way to get around this this magnetization experience.
Well, now let me hazard some information. Now, in some of my training, we were exposed to these MRI machines, but in the scientific community, they are referred to as NMR machines, which is nuclear magnetic resonance. And I think that people that are sick are scared of the word nuclear. So in the medical field, they're referred to as MRI. Now, if I'm right, and these are the same machines, then I would recommend returning to the doctor and going in upside down into the machine. And that should hopefully reset your alignment.
Right. You know, I didn't think of that, but that makes a lot of sense.
You know, one other possible problem is when they were setting up the MRI machine to run a scan over your body, they might have possibly left out some parameter or a term in the Fourier sequence or event. I had done some radiation treatment planning in the past, which stemmed through my training in magnets, and I'm not exactly sure how that type of setup works, but as I understand, sometimes they just call it a rounding error. So you might want to just make sure that they add a few more digits after the decimal place next time.
Just to be a little bit more careful that these
right.
types of ringing vibrations don't continue to occur.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
These
are not my kind of vibrations here. No.
Right. The therapists, I mean, bless their hearts, they're just overworked, and unfortunately they're left with a screen and a picture, and there's a tumor somewhere there, and it's really difficult for them to draw an outline. So you can look at it as an approximation to a circle.
I mean, this sort of problem too is quite general, but it's difficult for any sort of experimentalist to deal with a situation where the measurement devices change the subject that they wish to measure. And when this occurs,
kind of like whack-a-mole, right?
It's very difficult to deal with because it's a moving target.
You know, a lot of this stuff just reminds me so much of cold pasteurization, just the policies the American government has recently accepted for kind of a stopgap solution for E. coli, where they're calling it cold pasteurization, but in reality, you're zapping meat and spinach with radiation that's about 50 million times a chest X-ray. Cold pasteurization.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
You know, in the numbers that they use to establish how good or bad cold pasteurization is, they're not taking into account the denaturing of the proteins.
That's right.
They act like prions.
Yeah.
And it's not until 8 years later that they actually find them in traces of blood or bone marrow.
That's right.
It's
because
astounding.
Right. I mean, how do you, like, what tests do you do to detect if the proteins are intact? You know, you can count atoms and molecules, but you're losing out on that secondary and tertiary structure that's being annihilated by
exactly.
the radiation. So who even knows what you're digesting with that? It's something unheard of in nature, something that, you know, we have not, on our evolutionary or our created path, we have not, you know, through that incredible dance, that ant walk, we have not arrived at present to interpret.
Exactly. We used to live by and be governed by the laws of nature, which we responded with citizen science. You know, every person doing their own part to investigate and to understand. And now
that's right.
It's being abstracted.
And of course, lest we forget the Siberian peoples were the main guinea pigs who actually, with the help of the Siberians, the standards for the proper amount of radiation was developed in the late 1950s. Part of a secret covert program by the KGB and with assistance from CIA. I was part of those trials, and I can testify to you that it's not a pretty thing to be irradiated for days at a time. So I stand opposed to any kind of genetic engineering, and you have to really savor the purity of your diet, and there's no point in pasteurizing on or perpetuating the
sort of ridiculous over-pasteurization.
I just want to say, I mean, there's a lot of ways to come to the same answer, and it sounds like you got there through trial and error to that very same answer. And, we've ended up with one key through our evolutionary path, and it's like the lock is changing dramatically with this radiation, and we can still use the key. You know, you just have to jingle it a little bit, and you get cancer.
Right, perfect analogy there, Arthur. It's like the, but the lock is also changing. The lock,
that's what I mean, right?
Oh, the like environment.
Yeah.
Is changing with us, and so the key must also change. And when you jiggle that key, little bits of it fall off, and the world seems to adjust, and parts of us will die.
You know, that's exactly right.
Well, folks, I actually got to phase out. I'm going to hop on the bicycle and get some root vegetables.
Great.
Really great joining your presence, Billy Bonji.
My salama, Arthur.
Namaste.
It was the incredible Arthur Rainbow Beam. Is the other caller still with us? Well, it seems that we once again have two lines open. So why don't I throw that number out there? It's 617-253-8810. And we would be very interested in hearing your views on ultra pasteurization, the cooking of milk to the point that it becomes cream. Caller, welcome to the air.
Hi, it's me again. Sorry, we got disconnected there.
Welcome back.
Yeah, I was making some herbal tea, and I had a little magnetic issue with the tea kettle, but it's good now.
It's amazing how the most mundane thing can really, you know, throw off a vibration.
Really, you know.
Now, out of curiosity, is the kettle magnetized?
Well, I don't know if it is now. It certainly was a couple minutes ago.
I know that the heat would spoil
temporary.
The heat would spoil the magnetic alignment.
Yeah, although that might mean my tea is ready.
That's true. The magically or not, the tea actually changes poles as soon as it's finished stewing.
Yeah, you know, Because I was in the MRI, and there were no T's in the MRI, but apparently there's also an NMR. So I didn't know about the N's or the R's.
Well, now NMR and MRI are the same thing. MRI is simply the medical term, because due to everyone's skittishness with the word nuclear.
Yeah, it's like they're trying to slip it past you.
Yeah, they're just trying to get a buck in, more or less.
I mean, yeah, if I knew there was any nuclear anything going on, I wouldn't have had that.
Yeah, a lot of people, they opt in for the water treatment, and as New Age practitioners, that's an alternative choice that we've been going with for many years now. Just somehow it doesn't seem to have caught on, and people just haven't grasped it yet.
Unfortunately, the insurance policy doesn't cover it. That's very...
And there are a number of imaging techniques that don't involve atomic nuclei and nuclear powers, but they are not receiving as much development as MRI. And yet, what do you do if someone has a prison tattoo, with a high amount of metallic substance, very heavy metal, and is this person not to receive any sort of imaging?
Well, in the spirit of transdermal mediation, I believe remote viewing is a technique developed by the Central Intelligence Agency in the early 1950s. And it allows for a non-invasive procedure
that can actually be performed from a great distance, even.
Yes.
Let's bring another voice in with us here. Caller, welcome to the air. Caller? Well, it seems those vibrations are not with us today. I understand that along with remote viewing, there are sciences really beginning to catch up with the ancient methods. There are doctors who are performing remote surgeries. So like the very, very good surgeon could remain in his bathroom and perform an open heart surgery. Or an excellent musician might similarly play the piano from from their closet or under the bed. They could be playing a grand piano.
It does require a great amount of spiritual dexterity and fullness.
Yeah, it's like, far beyond simply the mechanics of performing surgery from the bathroom. It requires an extreme suspension of disbelief to really place oneself on the operating table so remotely, and it is by no means a trivial thing.
If I can chime in, sometimes I suspect that there are actually people performing remote surgery on me without my knowledge, which is a troubling thought.
Certainly. Is there anything that gives rise to these thoughts?
Well, I went in to the MRI because I was having some issues where let's just say some food was coming up that I don't remember eating, and don't know where it came from.
Well, caller, it might also be that you are suffering from, simple paranoia, which is pretty common.
As a Siberian, I have to object. Frankly, there is a well-known project known as MK Ultra, conducted again by the agency under the helm of the great doctor Sidney Gottlieb. And part of the technology developed as in the technical section was that of remote surgery and remote beaming of infrared energy and microwave energy to be able to control the mind. That technology is still being developed, and there are several camps in Siberia dedicated precisely for that task. And here in the United States, the program is still under covered operation. So you might want to file a Freedom of Information request with the agency and just check in case you've been enrolled as an unsuspecting lab rat.
You know, I think I'll do that.
I must put in my own view. I'm not sure this agency really exists. I think there are people that simply want you to be afraid. Because if such an agency did exist, would they not spend all of their energy looking at themselves?
Well, that's what they're doing.
Looking at themselves? So why are they worried about you or me or the caller or, well, Mr. Rainbow Beam?
It's an exercise of power that is so exciting. Of power...
Like very shiny sunglasses?
Or putting on the high beams.
It just seems so trivial to me, as one who consumes sufficient minerals. It seems ironic that one would waste one's time with enlarging one's power.
It does seem trivial, but unfortunately, in the community that's part of the intelligent psyche, to acquire more power and to wield it over unsuspecting guinea pigs like the Siberian pupils.
Do they have guinea pigs in Siberia?
You're speaking to one of them.
Oh.
Let's bring another voice in on this one and for a short time. Caller, welcome to the air.
Hey. What's up, guys?
Well, welcome, caller. Marhaban.
Hey, so I was, you know, I was wondering, like, who you guys dating these days? Like, what's, you know, like, I think everyone's interested, like, you know, like, what's, like, who's going on with who?
Well, caller, I can confess that my aged self is well beyond the needs of such things, and...
Are you curious?
I'm... My experience has freed me of curiosity.
So, but I mean, like, you know, if there was a girl you really liked...
Doctor,
if that girl had a penis, would you go after her?
Dr. Sakran is skilled in the arts of Kama Sutra, so...
Not that I have much use. Again, I'm not sure if I could... I would be afraid even to experiment at my age.
But that was one of the earlier army trainings, if I remember correctly.
Well, of course. I mean, one would be out in the field for long periods of time, and it was only natural that the mind would wander, and one would find oneself...
Under an oak tree.
Under an oak tree, being pelted by walnuts. If you've ever met a squirrel with a walnut, it can be a really difficult experience. Caller, welcome to the air.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you. I was just hoping to sort of complete the circle here, since there, the original discussion was about the purification of milk. And I was wondering if any of the remote type therapies that you've been talking about, all the processes with milk seem to be physical. And I'm wondering if it can be done without physical intervention.
Again, you mean remotely? Because remote obviously does not imply that there is no physical intervention. So you mean like by laying on of hands?
Or some other process other than, say, heating?
Well, there are other processes. We have been discussing radiation, for instance, which does... You know, I mean, another option that one could experiment with is simply testing. Is it like one, we could take a batch of milk, and instead of simply irradiating all milk, we test the batch for the known toxins and botulisms and pathogens. And if these are all absent, we can deliver safe raw milk to an unsuspecting Siberian population. So there are many ways. And the remaining milk, of course, would be dumped into the ocean, where it would return to the life cycle. It would keep the world spinning.
Yeah, because it would be so powerful to leverage the amazing technology of, say, the Americas or Europe, and be able to remotely do that for the people of Siberia or other nations which perhaps would not have that access.
Well, I'm not sure that it could be done at that great a distance.
No. I just dream of things that are possible. But I guess this is not one of them.
Caller, you need to write to the appropriate agency and request for more R&D funding into the subject, because the great humanitarian work that goes on at the CIA, it really goes unacknowledged.
You're very wise. I appreciate your perspective.
Well, caller, it's always astonishing that these sorts of military things really... These sorts of things are always used for evil ends, you know. Even though, as you rightly point out, they could be used for peaceful applications, like the remote purification of milk. Most people would rather see it used for the remote extraction of various creatures. Various rogue elements in other societies. So, like the missile technologies could be used to ship food all over the earth. And it's rare to see that sort of application. I've never seen one nation, even in ancient times, catapulting fruit, if the caller follows me.
Yeah, that could be amazing application of technology.
Just spreading the fruit.
You never know. You could combine the processes such that a missile filled with milk could then go through the atmosphere, thereby purifying itself before landing in the intended country.
Well, as wiser men have said, all things are possible. But unfortunately, we have to say goodbye to our callers and to our hosts, because the hour is reaching to an end.
Abaragani.
Masarama, callers. So, Masarama also to Ivan the Mellow.
Shislio.
It was, of course, our pleasure to be joined also by Minister Woods.
Good evening.
Ma'a salama. And ma'a salama from a Dr. Jalis Sakran here with Music for Human Beings. on WMBR 88.1 FM in Cambridge every Friday at 7. Stay tuned for Hidden Gems in Plain Sight. Ma'a salama.
Safety.
Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians and unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.
Good evening, Boston, Cambridge, whoever may be listening, you are listening to WMBR 88.1 FM Cambridge, MIT's public radio station. That right there was Music for Human Beings, New Age Talk Radio. And you are currently listening to Hidden Gems in Plain Sight. I'm your host, Josh, and I'm proving to you it's not that hard to find good music if you know where to look. And I'm trying to show you where to look. You should try to play stuff where, you know, bands you may have heard on the radio, but songs you probably haven't. Songs you definitely haven't heard on the radio, and songs you probably haven't heard unless you are really into the guy's albums. And kind of use it as a jumping point to dig a little deeper into music than the what you'll hear on the radio. Like, if you like that stuff, you'll probably like these other bands too, but bands that usually don't get radio play on the up-the-dial stations. Starting off tonight, you have a couple bands that, you probably have heard on the radio before. Gnarls Barkley. Fantastic group that's, you know, CeeLo, and who's been in multiple rap outfits through the last couple decades, and Danger Mouse, who's been the producer that's kind of like dominated the Double O's, produced Demon Days by the Gorillaz, kind of broke onto the scene with the Gray album, where he mixed the rapping from Jay-Z's Black album over mixes of songs of the Beatles' White album. And they got together, and of course the song they went big with was Crazy, but I've got another cut for you off their first album. Also, a Hot Chip, band I've been really, really into lately. Another track off their latest from last year.